Your name is to be hallowed. Your name is to be hallowed. Your name is to be hallowed. Hallelujah. So be steadfast in the faith of our Lord Jesus, for he will save them that put their trust in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, the Lord would want me to continue the subject on the Holy Spirit, which we started looking at a few weeks back. I'll do a little summary. And then we continue from there. And the Lord, if you remember very quickly, I asked the question, do you really think that you need the Holy Spirit? And those of us who were in the study that evening said yes. And I answered yes for everyone, because you desperately need the Holy Spirit, and I do also. And we'd like to look a little bit on that. And when time permits again, we look at it sometime to come. It's very important that we do understand what God is saying and begin to pattern our lives according to that. And I'm believing, God, that the Lord will help you and I in the name of Jesus. Deep in my heart, deep in my heart, I need the Holy Spirit deep in my heart. that nothing will restrain you from doing your work in our hearts. That life will be possible to be lived in the way your heart desires it. Enable us, Lord. Strengthen us, O God, and complete your work in our lives. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The sweet Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. Not because he occupies a lower position. He is the same God. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all have their functions in our lives. And when Jesus Christ came and was going to go back, Jesus was preparing his disciples. I was talking a lot to them from chapter 14 of John all the way down. He was talking a lot to them about their need for the Holy Spirit. He talked to them very seriously because he had to help them to see and to understand that there is a life that God would want us to live here on earth, and that life is not possible without having the Holy Spirit being ever present in your life on a daily basis, 24/7, and all the months of the year, and all the years you ever would have to live on this earth. He wants us to know that, because the life he wants us to live for him, it cannot be ours by our strength. It cannot be by our power. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, "For not by might, not by power, but by the enablement of the Holy Ghost." Because the Holy Spirit is the one who has been sent to us here. And God wants us to live the life that he demands that we live. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake. If you live your life the way you want to live it, you will be disappointed when the trumpet will sound. The implication is that if you live the way you want, when the trumpet sounds, you are not lifting. And God says he wants me and wants you to live the way he wants us, and that way is only possible by the Holy Spirit that is at work inside of us. Why is he demanding that? Why is he asking us of that? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, I hope you like to open your Bibles. It is good for you. Open it and write it down by yourself so that you can always cross-check it. God is going to help you to be like the Berean Christians. The Bible said that the Berean Christians, after they have heard the word preached to them, always went back home. And when they go back, they are reconsidering it again, to know whether those things are true. And that is the only way a genuine Christian will be able to do it. God is expecting you to reconsider again when you get back home. That's the reason why we ask you, come in with Bibles, coming with jotters, coming with a writing pen, and you'll be able to write them. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, I am going to read verse 27. It's talking about Jesus. Remember that Paul was talking to the Ephesian Christians, and he was talking to them about the marriage pact, the marriage relationship, and what is God expecting. And he started that discussion from verse 21. But in verse 27, he said, this is what he said. This is talking now about Jesus. That Jesus might present the bride, the wife, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, not having wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, this is a description of who you and myself should be at the point the trumpet is sounding. It says to us that this is what we describe the bride is coming for, because he is the bridegroom, and the trumpet will sound, and the bridegroom will descend in the sky, and they which are alive in Christ will arise to meet their Lord in the air. And this description tells you that it is not just any kind of bride, just like we are hoping to see on Saturday when our sister walks down the aisle. We are expecting to see her in a sparkling white raiment. That sparkling white raiment has no stain. It has no oil stain. It has no vegetable stain. It is not rumpled. There are no wrinkles in it. It is all properly ironed out. I'm sure that the dry cleaner is already doing a great job. And you too will be sitting down and giggling and being happy on their behalf, even though they are not seeing you. It's the same thing Jesus is saying. Jesus is not coming for any kind of bride. He is coming for a bride that is a glorious bride. He's coming for a bride that doesn't have spots. He's coming for a bride that has no wrinkles. He's coming for a bride that has nothing of such. That's the way he puts it. No such thing. But this bride, what you're going to be seeing about her is that she will be holy and she will be without blemish. It's a preparation time that we are in. And there's no way you are going to be able to prepare yourself except you receive an enablement. And that enabling, that enablement is going to come from no other but from the Holy Spirit. That is the description of the kind of person that Jesus is hopeful that you are and that you will continue to be. That's the description. And he's telling us that in this description, by yourself, you are not able to be and to do. So that kind of life that God is looking forward for you and I is not a kind of life that comes by your strength and by your power, by the things you like to do, by the way you want to do them. It is by the dictate of the person who is looking forward, you know, to see you and I. It is a true life. God does not want the Christian life to be a life of struggle. There is an enabler. There is an enablement. And that enabler, his name is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes and I give him opportunity and you give him opportunity, one thing he does is take hold of your life and begin to transform your life and begin to change your life to become for him what he wants it to become, who he wants it to be. that is the busy work of the Holy Spirit, which He wants, you know, to do in our lives. Now, let's read a few scriptures, and then we're going to draw more lessons from them. John chapter 14. Let's have John chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 15 and to 18. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another helper, another comforter, that he may abide with you, and that not for some time, but forever. He wants the Holy Spirit to get into your life and keep staying with you. Abiding with you means sitting in with you when you are awake, when you are asleep, when you are going to work, when you are at, you know, in school, when you are at, in the market, when you are in your office, wherever it is that you find yourself. He says he wants to just be resident with you. Not for some time, but forever. He calls him, in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world cannot see him, neither know him, but you know him. He is supposed to dwell in you, and he shall be in you. That's what he says. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to be resident in you. And he wants to be with you. And he says, I do not want to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So you can see what a gracious promise. He is not expecting me to live a life of struggle. He's expecting me to enjoy living the life that God wants me to live. That I wake up in the morning. He's expecting me that it's a life I would enjoy, because I would just discover that the Holy Spirit is right here. He's speaking to me. He's saying something to me. He's encouraging me. He's comforting me. He's doing all kinds of things to me. He wants to be with us forever. That was the kind of promise that God gave to Mr. and Mrs. Father and Mother of Samson, and they passed it on to their son. But Samson didn't take the words of his parents very seriously. He didn't take very seriously. The power of God began to move in his life. The grace of God began to move in his life. But when he began to misbehave, the Bible said he wished not when the Holy Spirit had departed. Brethren, the Holy Spirit will not give you a time to know, I'm going. He won't do it. The Holy Spirit is hopeful to remain with you until you're called home to be with Jesus. But there's a way you will do things and leave, and the Holy Spirit will simply get out. And when he gets out, he won't tell you, and you will think that he is still there in your life, as Samson did, and Samson wished not. And Samson said to himself, I will go out as before. And Samson did not know that the Holy Spirit has gone. May God forbid it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because it is risky. You cannot afford. If you're a Christian, be genuine. He wants to be with you, dwell in you, remain in you, and be a comfort and a help. He is called the Comforter. He is called the Helper. He is able to help you to go along the way. That is what is in his heart. And that's what he wants to do. That is why Jesus said to his disciples, he told loved them. In actual fact, he said to them, when he came again and resurrected, he said, meet me, I'm coming. And when he met them, what did he say? He said, go to and be there until you are endued with power by the Holy Ghost. Then you shall become my witnesses. He knows the frailties of man. He knows how frail you are. He knows how weak you are. This is the reason why many people, you know, play around and try to do several things and deceive as many people as they can deceive to make people think that they are still there with God. But it is not so. It's a risky thing to do. He said, I want to be with you forever. And this is what prayer you have to pray. You've got to plead with him. Never leave me, O sweet Holy Spirit. I need you every hour. Deep in my heart, come. Come, stay in my heart. Don't leave me. Don't. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, he transforms you. He changes you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with an open, unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed and transfigured and transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you don't give attention to the Word of God on a consistent level, you won't have this happen to you. No, you won't have it. It says, if you don't have an unveiled face, if you don't have an open face, if you don't have a commitment to him, he says to you that you are supposed to be looking into, beholding in this glass. This is a mirror. And this mirror is showing to you the glory of the Lord. And he says, you are expected by him to be changed from glory to glory, transfigured, transformed. You are being changed from glory to glory. Why? Because you are giving attention to this, and because you are giving attention, the Holy Ghost cannot but come to use this word and do a work of transformation in you. And the work of transformation is easy for you to see. You can look back the whole last week, and all you're saying is, Jesus, I just want to say thank you. Why? Because you yielded yourself to him and he had opportunity of working in you. That's all. That's what the scripture is saying. It says, you are changed into the same image of Jesus Christ. You are transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ. Not by your works of righteousness, but by him, the Spirit of God. Amen. That's why what is pleading with you this morning, asking you. You do nobody a favor by being constantly in his presence. You do nobody a favor. No, you do nobody a favor. Remember, I've said to you that Jesus is coming. And we will see him in glory. And some people will say, how do you know he's coming? The one he came before, has he gone? Mm-hmm. All I know is that Jesus is coming. And he's not coming for just any kind of person. Get it written down, paste it by the side of your bed. As you're waking up, this is the kind of person Jesus is coming for. Put all those things, you know, on your bed and say it to yourself and allow him, you know, to do it. That's the kind of change that is coming. a change from glory to glory. May ends tomorrow. And June begins. In the month of June, your change from glory to glory. In the month of July, from glory to glory. In the month of December, from glory to glory. And you enter 2023 from glory to glory. And that is only possible by the Holy Ghost. The consistency, the ease, the yieldedness to Him. If you don't yield to Him, it cannot be possible. But He longs for it. He longs for it. That's what He is looking forward to do to you, to me, to everybody. And that is the reason why the Glory Tabernacle Ministry is formed. The Glory Tabernacle Ministry is not formed just so that we can add another church. And they say, oh, another church started somewhere and that church is moving. I better move on to that church. That's not the reason why this congregation is. And so it is important for you as an individual that you make up your mind and have decided in your heart. If you belong here, you go according to what they are teaching here. Because what we are teaching here is true and it is good. We know it. Because we have proven it. Because Jesus said, I want to see the people that I want. Look at them and pour my glory into them. That's what Jesus is hopeful to do in this place. That's why He is insistent that you will give Him that opportunity by yielding yourself, you know, to the Holy Ghost. And it will be so in the name of Jesus. And you know the beauty about the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The beauty is you will begin to notice the changes in you. The changes in you is not determined by the status you have. It's not determined by the kind of clothes you have. It's not determined by how much money you have. It has nothing to do with them. So don't waste time trying to play to the gallery and trying to have some people to, you know, that these are the ones I go with. Forget it. That is not what He's coming for. That's not what He's looking at. He is looking for a bride without spot, without wrinkle. And that bride without spot or wrinkle, not possible. Except the bride is constantly, on a daily basis, yielding himself or herself to Him. As you yield yourself to Him, He takes you, polishes you, and makes you what you should be. And it will be so in the name of Jesus. Why is it that I need the Holy Spirit? Why is it that you need the Holy Spirit? You need the Holy Spirit because the world in which we live is a world where there is a great contention over your life. Brother, sister, there is a great contention over your life in this world. And what is it about you there is a contention over? What is about you there is a contention over is about your faith in Christ. There is a battle over your faith in Christ. And the devil is saying to you, you escaped him by saying, Jesus, come into my heart. And he's saying, I'm not going to allow it to be easy for you to become the kind of vessel you are supposed to be in Christ. That's the contention. It is a battle. Get to know it. Because if you understand it, you will fight for your soul. And your eyes will not be depending and looking at all these other things, you know, that wouldn't matter. I tell you the truth. If you wear gold to come to church today, gold as dress, which is not possible. I've never seen them use gold to sew a dress. That gold, very soon, will begin to rust. Anything you wear, and you're feeling so great, you're feeling so powerful, you look at yourself in the mirror, everybody is going to talk about me today. Forget it. It's a waste of time. Why? Because those things will perish with use. Do you read the scriptures? Do you understand the Bible? It will perish with use. That means it's not going to be important. It's not going to be important. So seek for what is important. Pursue it. Go after it. Amen. Go after it because that is the will of God. You know, because of this contention, Jude said to us, I hope you know where Jude is. Okay, turn to Jude. Jude has only one chapter of the scripture after the three epistles and before Revelation. That's where Jude is, you know, tucked in. I'll read verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, Jude said, I took time. Jude said, I am not playing with writing to you about your salvation. He says to you, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you and encourage you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They are ungodly men. They turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you have never marked a scripture in your Bible, take your pen and underline it. Jude says to you, I'm not talking to you about something that is not important. Yes, it may be called a simple common salvation. But Jude says, say to them, let them know that this common salvation is not easy. It's not an easy salvation. That's why he says, I am diligently, I am taking time, I am putting in effort to talk to you about it. And what I am asking you to do is to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto you. Why? Because this faith that was delivered to you, if you don't contend for it, if you don't fight for it, the faith will slip out of your fingers and you'll be shocked. You will be shocked that this faith that you used to know has just simply slipped away. Jude said, you must contend for it. Why? Because he said, there are certain men who would always be around you. Certain boys and girls. Certain young adults, men and women. They will be around you. And what are they going to be doing? They have crept unawares. This is the reason why we battle in the place of prayer, that ungodly men will not enter the glory tabernacle ministry. We battle in the place of prayer because if there are no people battling over your life, before we know it, everybody just becomes the normal. It's a battle to be done. They are called ungodly men. They've come in unawares. They are already condemned men. I don't know what your eyes see. I don't know the people who move around you, people who come near you. I don't know how you size them up. I don't know how you judge their lives in line with scripture. I don't know whether the people who are around you are godly people, or you just allow people who are very ungodly and they are just around you and they do all kinds of things and say all kinds of things to you and tell you, are you the one that killed Jesus? my village people who were in the same university, they came to visit me one Sunday afternoon in my room. And they said to you, we came to visit you. You don't attend the village meeting. I said, where is the village? They say here in the university. I said, I don't know this university as a village. And they said, that's what they're saying. That once you're talking, she too, she will use her mouth and come against you. And one of them said to me, did Jesus die for only Igbene people? I said, I don't know about Igbene people, but Jesus died for me. He died for me. So it's your family that killed Jesus. I said, all of them. Jesus too died for you. And so your life must be skewed to be directed in a particular way. I said, yes. According to the word of God. That's what Jude is saying. Fight. Because if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to have his full sway over your life, you won't fight. You won't defend the cause of the gospel. That was the last time they saw me. That's the last time. If you say, I am very busy. You know, the course I am reading is a very important, you know, very busy course. And that is why I can I will find time. One of the days that you are meeting, I will find time. You do that, you will derail your faith in Christ. And the only one that can make it possible for you to be able to stand, to resist the attack, to derail your faith in Christ is the Holy Ghost. You give him that opportunity. You will see him in his power. You see him in his glory. Every eye will see him where he appears. That's what the scripture says. Jesus said, contend for this faith. You can. You can contend for this faith. You can be strong in the faith of our Lord Jesus. But the way the Spirit of God takes hold of your life and begins to monitor your life and begins to say, this is what you cannot do. This is how you can do. This must be done. Why is it that you're always, can't you see that styles have changed? Can't you see there is fashion? New fashion has come. Can't you see? They will be telling you, can't you see? New fashion has come. You can use one material to do sleeve. And you use the other material to do one quarter sleeve. So as one sleeve, he said, praise the Lord, the other one cannot move up. Haven't you seen people like that here, even in this church? And you're asking them, what is the madness? The Holy Spirit will be the detector of the way you live this life. That's what we are saying. The Spirit of the living God will be one day to determine the things that come from your mouth to say. That's why you say, contend earnestly for this faith, which was given to you. It looks like a common salvation, but it is not common. That's the reason why you need the Holy Ghost. And you need him desperately so that he will be able to help you. Because you will not be able to overcome the ungodly men that are in the world. Ungodliness is rife. Ungodliness has filled everywhere. Today, the church of Jesus Christ is a shame to God. Why? Because before you'll be able to define that this person is a Christian, maybe when the person say, "Ah, praise the Lord," you say, "Yeah." So this one too is inside this Jesus matter. And it's not supposed to be so. It's not supposed to be so. The life of Jesus is a life that you yourself know. Great change. has come since I believed. That's what God is saying. That's the will of God. That's the desire of God. So you will not allow anybody to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. You will not allow anybody to bring any sort of impurity into your life. Any kind of indecency, any kind of obscenity, any kind of dirtiness, any kind of fearfulness, any kind of things that are vulgar, you will not allow it to get near you. They find out that it is just impossible to get this near her. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is garrisoning their heart. It's true. That's what God wants. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Him. The enabler of the saints. The enabler, the one that helps you to remain a saint. Or you do not know that the day you say to Jesus, "Jesus, come into my heart." That same day, truly, truly, Jesus came in. And the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all iniquities. And you stepped out. You stepped out the next morning, glorious in Him. And you're wondering, what happened? What happened? What is it that happened? What is it that happened? What happened is that the Holy Spirit has taken over. That's what happened. I served in the north during my youth service. And the time I served, there were not too many, there were not many churches. But I was able, as I began to sample churches, and I saw that, okay, this Baptist church is, I can get in there and see how it goes. And I did. I got into that Baptist church and I began to worship in this Baptist church. And I discovered that plenty of people in that Baptist church are not saved, including Pastor Mrs. Jesus of Nazareth. I didn't know what to do. I began earnestly to pray. I said, "God, give me the heart of this Pastor Mrs. Because I do not understand how there will be a Pastor Mrs. or a Mrs. Pastor that does not know Jesus. What will happen to the entire church? Or don't you know that where you have godly women as wives of leaders, that church cannot be the same. Don't you know it?" Oh, that is the truth. That's the truth. I prayed honestly. I prayed with all my heart. Week after week I prayed. Week after week I prayed. I'm saying, "God, give me this Pastor Mrs. I want to bring her to Christ." And for some reason, when the time, appointed time has arrived, she just noticed that this young girl, because I was just recently married, you know, before I came into youth service. And she just noticed, and she started coming close to me. "Mama, what about her? Has many children, big people, people as big as myself." She started coming to me, and I was happy. And I was saying, "God, maybe the time has arrived." And one day she said to me, "Do you know how to eat kuli kuli?" I said, "Yes." You know, because it's in the night. And she said to me, "Do you know how to make it?" I said, "No." He said to me, "Can I come and teach you? Can I teach you? Do you know how to make groundnut oil?" I said, "No." She said, "Can I come and teach you?" I said, "Yes. I would like you to teach me." We agreed. And I bought all the things. She said, "Buy this, buy that, buy that, buy that." And I thought she was going to say, "Let's come to her own house." She said, "Let's come to your house." And she came to my house to teach me. We sat down. I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying inside I'm saying, "God, my opportunity, I will not miss it. Today is that day. The day has finally come. And we did a lot of school work. Taught me how to make kuli kuli, taught me how to make granite oil. But I think I have forgotten, you know. Yeah, it's true. I'm telling you, I think I've forgotten. You know, except I'll go and look for the book where I wrote those things. And then anyway, we finished, you know, making, and then we are frying up, you know, the kuli kuli. And then I just suddenly said, Mommy, there's something I'd like to talk to you about. Oh, she was so excited about it. I brought a bottle of water, gave her one, gave myself one. And I started talking to her about Christ. And this mommy was weeping like a girl. She wept so much. She said to me, nobody has ever told me that I needed Christ. She said, she told me, now nobody has ever, that you're the first person bringing me to Christ. She said, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. My day was made. Abby, oh yes, my day was made. My day was made. And right inside my sitting room, I led her to Christ. She's still weeping, oh. I said, there's still something more. Holy Ghost, oh, you need Holy Ghost. And she received the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. After many hours, she went home. The next morning, she came back. She said, what happened? I said, what? She said, I slept the way I have never slept. And I woke up with such tremendous peace. I said, the Holy Ghost is at work. At you, in you. That is number one, oh. See, the Holy Ghost will lead your life if you don't know it. I continue to worship in that church. The young people in that church, everybody is, some are going left, others are going right, others are going backward. We all gathered on Sunday. My heart was bleeding. I went to the pastor and I said to the pastor, there are so many young people in this church and nobody is doing anything about them. Would you mind if I ask for permission? Let me gather them and then let me teach them at least once every 2 weeks. Oh, the pastor said he has been waiting, hoping that I would tell him. That the wife came and told him what happened. Inside my head, I was saying to myself, your wife told you. I hope you too, you are safe, self. You know? But I was joyful. I was glad. And all the young people, it is announced every Sunday that young people are meeting and the hall will be full. And lives began to change. The Holy Spirit changes lives. The Holy Spirit recreates and restructures lives. See, it's because you have refused to give yourself to Him. Because He wants to use you too. It's true. All of a sudden, a great revival broke out in this Baptist church. God wants to do something in your life. See, your life is under contention. The devil doesn't want you to live the kind of life you should live because he doesn't want you to open up to the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to work in you, and then the Holy Spirit to use you. That's the truth. Before I left that town, they knew that a little girl passed through that town. It's true. It is the truth. A few years after, Pastor and I went to preach in another town in the same state, in the north. Second day of preaching, two young men came to meet us. He said, excuse me, sir, we would like to talk to you. And we thought, you know, people have come to a meeting, there's a problem, they want to talk to you. And the young man said, do you know who we are? I said, I don't know who you are. We don't know. My mama said, well, this is the first time since we left this city. You know, this is the first time. Because my husband was doing youth service when I was serving. And they said, we just wanted to come and tell you that we were young boys when you came to our church, the Baptist church. Today,
we are pastors. Amen. That's all. We just wanted to come and tell you that this is what has happened. And that God has given us congregations to look after. And the things you taught us that time, we are teaching our church. Can you please visit our church? There's no time for that. The devil knows that if God gets hold of your life, and the Holy Spirit has opportunity to move through your life, your environment and circumstance cannot be the same. It's the truth. So better begin to rethink and refuse that the contention of the devil will win over your life. No, he cannot win. Oh. No, he cannot win. The devil cannot win over my life. Not by might, not by power, but by the enablement that comes from the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants. That's what he desires. The Holy Spirit, you need him desperately. Brother, sister, you need him desperately. You need him desperately because he wants to build up your life by imbuing inside of you his fruit and his gifts. That's what he wants to do. He wants to put his fruit and his gifts. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. Please open your Bibles to it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, is gentleness, is goodness, is faith, is meekness or humility, is temperance, is against such things, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. It says to us, brother and sister, desperately you need the Holy Spirit. Desperately, I need the Holy Spirit. He says, if the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, what the Holy Spirit is going to do is that he will begin to imbue into you his fruit. His fruit are his characteristics, his virtues. He will begin to imbue into you. And what are they? It is one fruit, but inside the one fruit are the following. Love. Do you know that in today's church, love for God and love for people have disappeared? People love people when they can gain something from them. That's what I see in church. People do not love people simply because they want to be a blessing to people. That is love. There are people who are not going to help you to get by and get through things because they've sized you up, they looked at your life, and they know 10 years to come, there is nothing they're going to gain from your life. So the love of Jesus cannot be allowed to flow through. Because we have come into the body of Christ, the will of God is that as the Holy Spirit is working in us, imbuing his love in us, we too, we are opening up and allowing that love of Jesus to flow out and reach to many people. In my room, in the retreat ground, we were praying, you know, we were just a few of us in there, and we were praying, for somebody, and then we were also going to pray for another person, and I said to them something, that I have realized something in the body of Christ, and I'm also seeing it in the glory tabernacle.
I want us to pray against it. And what was it? I said to them, if somebody wants to do something in church, if the person is a known person, everybody will be in that event, true or false. That is what the Bible calls hypocrisy. Abi? Oh yeah, it's true. But if there's another person who is doing something, and he's a small person, a person who is not known. Are you not coming? I don't have time. But you had time last week. But this week you don't have time. You know why? Because the love of Jesus is not inside of you. No, yeah. Don't come and start giving yourself excuse. So don't dull your heart. Don't dull your mind. And say, now. And don't dull it. Accept it. It is the truth. All of us have said it. Let a small person in this church, they say, oh, this small brother is getting married next week. Everywhere will be quiet. Abi, it's true now. Everywhere will be quiet. But Pastor Joseph's son is getting married. Everybody will shout. And even when you don't have the time, you will come. You're not coming because of the deep love of Christ in your heart. You're coming because, well, number one, if I don't go, they might notice my absence. And they will say, Shebi, you didn't come. So first of all, let me save my face. It happens. Is that Christianity? No. No. You hear that. This brother is in trouble and he's in hospital. This is what has happened to this sister. You will neither pray, nor visit, nor call. But if there is somebody that is of, you know, then everybody is streaming and going. See, the love of Jesus, the Holy Spirit imbues it inside us, not for separatism and partiality. It is so that it can pour out to whoever needs it. That's the love of Jesus. That's what Jesus wants. It's true. Abi, it's true now. It's true. The love of Jesus. The Holy Spirit infuse it. Watch on Saturday. Glory verses will be full. You have to pray for them because they need deliverance. I'm telling you the truth. They will fool here. But if it is, you know, another wedding, then they will dress shabbily and they will just walk in anytime they like. And they just come in and they just sit down. There may be only 10 of them. It doesn't matter. For them. But for them. No, for them, that's not the kind of. I'm sorry I have to use you because we've seen it several times. It happens all the time. So may God bring repentance. May we be able to say, speak, Holy Spirit. Don't let this characterize me again. Do you understand that? He says to us, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, He will plant into us the love of Jesus. He will... Why are you discussing it? Don't discuss now. Finish hearing, write it down. And you go outside and sit down. And go to the house to talk about it. And bring changes. When the word of God hits you, don't dismiss it. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. The love of Jesus. He said the Holy Spirit plants that love for Jesus. In my second year in the university, I had already become a leader in the University Christian Fellowship. And as leaders, we have time to meet in the ESCO and all the rest of them. And then me and my friend, Edith, were coming late for our meeting. And one of our leaders stood up, saw us coming in. And he said to us, "Esisachi and Sisidi, you know that where you're sitting there rubbing your pancake is more important than coming to Jesus, whom you claim you love." Because he was right. I told them in my room, I said, he was right. You know why he was right? Because if you love Jesus, and you know that Jesus is expecting you at 9 o'clock, you get in at 9 o'clock. It's true. That day I cried so much. He's a fellow student. He's one of our leaders. But these words went into my spirit. And my spirit was saying to me, reason it out and check how much you truly, truly love Jesus. Because the love of Jesus in your heart brings you to a place of commitment. It brings you to a place of deep dedication. The Holy Spirit will take hold of you and organize your time for you. That's what the Spirit of God does. Implants His love in my heart. He implants His peace in my heart. Many people don't have peace. They only have peace that they can smile. When things are working out great. When things are not working out great, they have no joy. Nothing. They can't laugh. They can't smile. Because their smile and their joy is dependent on what is happening. But the Spirit of the living God takes this part of His fruit, implants it in your heart, and uses this part of His fruit to destroy from your life anything that works against the peace of God. That's what God is saying. The Holy Spirit takes long suffering. Long suffering is that long patience you have, you stand to endure things that are difficult. Things that are difficult come. If it hasn't come to you yet, expect it will come. And God is saying, allow the Spirit of God to work in you. When He works in you, He will cause that grace to endure, to stand and suffer long because of. It began with love, because love is the principal thing. It is the love that makes your heart to have the long suffering, to endure patiently, to endure the difficulties. Oh yes, there are difficulties. That is why some people cannot go to mission field. Oh, they cannot go to mission field though, because there's too much to suffer there. And it is true. Mission field is tough. It's very tough. Mission field is tough. You may not eat when you need to eat. You may not have a bed to sleep on. You may have to sleep on the mat. But you always have to remember, that is not your sleeping place in your own home. So it will not last forever. And therefore, you endure that time of difficulty. And as you endure, God works more endurance in your heart. Because without that endurance, you will not be able to go through life the way Jesus wants you to go through life. And therefore will not satisfy Jesus when He comes. That's what God is saying. Jesus Himself endured, the Bible says, such contradiction of sinners. That's what He endured. For your sake. And the question is, what have you endured? For the sake of Jesus. What has the Holy Spirit allowed you to go through for the sake of Jesus? What has he imbued inside of you for the sake of Jesus? That's what the Holy Spirit will do. But there are some for where zero tolerance. No way. They cannot suffer that. They cannot. Some will say, if they are rich people, they will give you money. But Jesus is not asking for money. He's asking for you to go. That's what he wants. It's true. The Holy Spirit wants to take his gentleness in dealing with circumstances of life. And he just simply wants you, to be gentle about this. And you are able to discover that when that virtue is inside of you, well, okay, you are able to endure. Some people will insult you proper. They will insult you very, very well. What are you going to do? Nothing. Nothing. But it's for a short time. Jesus wants to put inside of you his goodness. Do you know that this experience of simply being good is not in the life of some Christians? I watch some people and I shudder. And I say, God forbid bad things. You're not good because the things that come from your mouth, the things you utter, your mouth is razor blade. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has not taken that tongue and worked on it and taken out the poison that is in it. God wants you to be a simply good person. You're just good. And you're not good because of this person or because of. No. You're simply a good person. You're ready to show a goodness. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. Because you're simply a good person. Pastor and I were flying from Amsterdam back to Nigeria once. And, just a few years, in 2017, I think. And in that plane, everybody coming back will want to sleep. Because many are flying from different parts of the world, and it's quite difficult. And so people are exhausted. They want to get into the plane, and simply, as soon as the plane takes off and stabilizes, people begin to snore. And here came in this woman that has this child. From the beginning we entered, they cry. This child cried, everybody was abusing this child. They were abusing the mother. Everybody, they were even telling, the pilot should, get onto the next stop and let off this woman. And her crying baby, we need to sleep. And people were saying all kinds of things. I don't know why this baby was crying. But it is an annoying crying. Annoying. All of us were annoyed. Or people said to me, can you imagine what's going on? We just finished preaching and we wanted to just come into this place and sleep. And I'm asking him, so what should we do? He said, he doesn't know. Everybody was abusing. And God was asking me, you too, will you abuse this woman? Who will born a child and say to the child, oh yeah, start crying. Who will do that? Nobody. And God said to me, can't you do something about this? That's what God said. If the virtue of goodness is in you, you can do something about this. And I'm saying to her, what am I going to do? God said, you can do something. And God refused to let my mind be at rest. So I told my husband, Obi, I'm coming. I just stood up and I went to where that woman is sitting. Some seats behind, and I said to her, can you give me your baby, please? And she looked at me, I said, give me your baby. I just want to help you out a little bit. And she gave me her baby. And I began to go through the aisle. I was speaking in tongues. I was commanding this baby in the name of Jesus. Receive the peace of God. I command you in the name of Jesus. The baby will look at me. Brethren, baby stopped. Oh, the baby stopped. No more cry. And this baby just slept in my arms. And I just carried the baby. I said to the mother, okay, come on. This is your baby. Everybody in our coach began to clap. They were not sure what was happening. And people were asking, what did she do? What did she do? See, there is something about being good. There's something about goodness. Yeah, it's true. And you can be, that is what the Bible says, you are the salt of the earth. It's true. You can be. You can simply be good. You can simply see a hurting soul. And your heart reaches out to a hurting soul. It's true. You can. He says it is the fruit of the Spirit. You can be. You see, that's why I'm explaining it little by little. So that you can pray today. Because the world needs you. And we need you. Everybody needs you. The church needs you. You can be somebody who is really good. It is not by might. It's not by power. It is by the enablement that comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, I took Pastor to the UK when he was ill. And we were admitted in hospital. And he was very ill. Pastor was very ill, you know, of course you know. And then there is this other person in this other side who was extremely ill. And that man had nobody coming to say, how are you doing? Except to have the nurses who will hand over the medicine. Eba, this is your medicine. They have nothing. Nobody. Nobody was coming. Yet he has wife. He had children. And nobody was coming. Nobody was coming. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, nobody was coming. And, you know, Obi was ill, and he was saying to me, can you go over and just check out how that man is doing? Can you go over? Just check out how he's doing. So I stood, and I went over to check out how that man was doing. And he looked at me. He said, you know, I've been in this hospital for almost 1 month. And not a single person has ever asked me, how are you doing? Not a single person. Nobody has ever offered me a fruit to eat. It drew tears from my eyes. He said, I want to just say thank you for what you've done. And I was asking him, you would like me to get you some tea? You like me to, you know, get you some fruit? Because I can go get you some. He said, can you? I really want to take some fruit. Brethren, people are in need of you in the world and in the church. They're in need of you. The Holy Spirit can make you to become. It's no story. And anyway, that man got well from that moment onwards and was discharged. See, you can prolong the lives of people. You can. Why? Because the fruit of the goodness of the Holy Spirit is planted in your heart. And you just can't help it. It just flows out from you. Today you will pray for yourself, you know. Oh yes, you will. You've got to. So that all the selfishness. This is why Paul said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another,
envy one another. A life is sacred and beautiful to live in. I think I've told you a story of somebody in this church. She used to live in Ridge Road. She would come to Good Morning Jesus from Ridge Road. And I was telling her, I said, Ridge Road is too far to come for Good Morning Jesus. I know you like to be in Good Morning Jesus, but I'm sure there are other good churches you can get into. And you know what she said to me? She said to me, no. Until the Lord makes it, you know, more difficult, I will keep on coming here. I said, why? She said to me, I come to Good Morning Jesus because every morning after we finish Good Morning Jesus, that she comes to greet me and I will shake her hand and I will say to her, God bless you today. And that I have made her day. By just offering words that are simple, God bless you today. You've made her day. She says, that gives her faith. She lives the Good Morning Jesus. Truly, truly, anything she touches, it works. And he said, Brethren, allow the Holy Spirit. It doesn't cost you anything except yieldedness. Yield yourself to him. I said, and by doing that, you will be living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. May the Lord grant us that grace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord himself also wants to also cause his gifts in us. There are plenty of gifts of the Holy Spirit. You must find that from God and from yourself. Which one self do I possess? Which gift of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. Sorry, 4 to 11. Allow me to read it. The reason why I'm going to read it is not because I'm going to be explaining all of it. I will not be able to explain all of it. We still need to do studies on that. But you can at least pray. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. And that there are differences in administrations, but it is the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The Trinity is mentioned here. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. Brothers and sisters, take your pen and underline that verse of Scripture. Underline it. To everyone is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Do you know what it means? That all the gifts of the Spirit, you have a right to profit from it. You have a right. You should gain from it. That's what it is saying. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us. For one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Brethren, in our church, I think we are up to 1,500 in our church. When we put together all the places, God expects the plenty dozens of us to manifest the gift of the word of wisdom. That somebody is looking for a way out of something, and the person, you simply come around and then you offer a word of wisdom, and that's the solution the person is looking for. To another is given the word of knowledge. It is by the same Holy Spirit. You have a right to operate in the word of knowledge. It is not given to just a few people to be able to say, there's somebody who has to. There's somebody this. You too. It is true. God can give you the word of knowledge. God can give it to you. God can say to you as you're getting into church this morning,
and somebody is going to sit by your right at the far end, you should do this, that to the individual. And God says, Satan, I rebuke you. I'm talking about my own problem. You're giving me somebody's problem. Don't rebuke the devil. It is God at work. What he's simply doing, depositing inside of you the gift of the word of knowledge, that when you bring it forth and share it with this brother or with this sister, that is the answer. And the person doesn't even know. It's a gift of God. The Bible says all of us here, in all the rooms of worship this morning, you have a right to profit from it. You have a right to go to the Holy Ghost and say to the Holy Spirit, give it to me. Or you don't know that you can be in your house and God is speaking to you and telling you, somebody is going to come by your door today. Make sure you open that door and make sure you meet that individual. Or you don't know? You don't know that God was, you're waiting for when we're going to give you the microphone. There are only 52 weeks in a year. So, one quarter of us can never handle this. And handling the microphone is not what it means to be a minister of the gospel. Mm-mm. It is just for them to use to organize our lives for us. The gift of the Holy Ghost, God wants to give to you. He said the gift of faith by the same Spirit. The gift of faith. Or you don't know that something can be happening to somebody and suddenly God gives to you the gift of faith in your heart. And God says, pray for this person. Not because you are one big person. No. No. Not because of that. No. God says, you go and pray for this person. You go and pray for this person. What was happening inside of you? The gift of faith that is saying it is possible. With God, all things are possible. It can be done. That's what you're saying. You're insisting on it. It can be done. It can be done. You're saying to the person, it is possible. God is able to do this. Not because you have that. No! It is simply because the gift of the Holy Spirit, He wants it to manifest through your life at this time. Or you don't know. You say, you should go to meet the pastor. Meet the deliverance ministers. It's when you meet the deliverance ministers, they are going to help you. Who told you you are not a deliverance minister? Yes. Who is not a deliverance minister? The person who is not is the person who has not come to the Holy Spirit to receive from Him the sufficiency of faith inside that when He meets this person and commands whatever it is, that thing gives way. You have become deliverance minister. Don't let people keep on deceiving you. The church of God has great need, and you are a solution to the church of God. That's the word of God. That's truth. The gift of healing. You know, we studied the gifts of healing. And I wondered, as we were ending that study, I was wondering, how many of our members all over Ibadan who are sitting down in the centers studying went back saying to God, I need your operation of the gift of healing in my life. And you are saying to God, God, you've got to give to me. You've got to give to me too. Lord, you've got to give to me. I doubt. How many people? Because many people should be in Bible study. They say that's how they know members of GT. So I better join them all. That's why. No, you better don't join. Because the word that you study on Tuesdays is to work out something through your life.
So the gift of healings. How can God not heal somebody through you? Who said? Who said it? God, by His Spirit, wants to give to you. Deposit it in your life. You are not one, you don't have to live in a duplex. You just, you know, face me, I slap you. That's all. You don't need to be one big person and have one big car parked out there and then you go in with your shoulder, touching your ears. No, no. You simply need to just be a genuine, simple Christian. And the gift of faith can work in your life. The gift of healing, the working of miracles can work through your life. Because that is the will of God. That's how God wants it. He says every one of us. So today, you've got to pray to God and say, God, I don't know the gift of the Spirit working in me. I don't know it. A sister was telling me this morning, my baby is not feeling very well. I said, where are they? She said, they're at home. What is that baby doing in the house? Bring the baby into the house of God. It's true. You bring the baby into the house of God, you carry this baby and say, bro, see, this my baby has been very ill since last night. And the brother will say, okay, come on, let's pray. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's scripture. Who told you the miracle to get that baby healed cannot operate when you enter the church? When you enter the church, there is supposed to be healing in the house. And some people, they are sick, nobody must hear, so that they will not be the ones that the devil is looking for. The devil is not going to look for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord Himself, the Spirit of the living God, one of the things He wants to do in your personal life is that He wants to instruct you in the way you should go. Every step of your life, He wants to instruct you. He wants to teach you. He wants to guide you. That's what He wants to do. That's how the Holy Spirit works. You have a right for that. The Spirit of God tells us in Psalm 32, verse 8. Let me quickly read as we begin to, you know, close for the day. There's too much to talk about, but, you know, the grace of God is sufficient for us. Okay, Psalm 32. I'm going to read verse 8. Okay. I will instruct thee and will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eyes. What do I need in life? Is it not for God to constantly, every iota of the way, to instruct me? There is too much confusion in the world. Oh yes, there's too much confusion. There are too many people who have many ideas about many things, and they tell you many things. But they may not tell you the mind of God. But you need that instruction from God. He is able to instruct you. And He is able to teach you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He says to us, the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, who is the Helper, He will guide you into all things. And He will lead you in the way you ought to go. Many of us make all kinds of mistakes. Get it straight. Whenever you make mistakes, it is not God's fault. It is your fault. Abi? Oh yeah, it's your fault. If I make mistakes today, it's not God's fault. They say, God, so where were you? Why didn't you stop me? He wants to instruct you. He wants to lead you in the way you ought to go. He wants to. I have known enough in scripture to know God never
wants me to make a mistake in life. No, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to make mistakes. Young people, hear me out. God does not want you to make mistakes about the kind of person you will share the rest of your life with. It's a costly venture. You cannot afford it. You get married wrongly, you are dubbed for it. People celebrate and they eat your food and give you 200 naira. That's it. And then you go home and go and suffer the consequences. Abi? Oh yeah, it's true. If you get God to instruct you, oh, we know him. Able God, who will say to your brother, don't marry this lady. Oh yeah, but I like her. And I like the way she walks. It is not the way she works that makes a home. It's not the way she works. It's true. It's not the way she works. It's not the way she smiles at everybody that makes a home. I don't want this one. This one, her face is very ugly. That's not what God is looking at. For everybody, in the first sight of God, you're beautiful. It's true. Even though I must confess to you, brother, sister, you should learn to smile, okay? It's good. Yeah, it's good to smile. When you smile, you make yourself happy and you make others also happy. But nevertheless, there is God in heaven who does not want me to make a mistake in this life. God does not want you to make a mistake in this life. And you can go through life without making mistakes. You can go through this life. You don't have to make mistakes. People say, how can it be possible? It is possible. It is not how can. It is possible. It is possible for as many as are going to yield themselves to the Holy Ghost. It will become possible. Because the Bible says to us in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the true sons of God. So I don't have to make a mistake. God can lead me and show me where I ought to go. God means it. I'm telling you, God means it. He wants to lead me. He wants to lead you the way you should go. I've seen a lot in ministry to know. If you're not led, you are in for it. Big time trouble. And lastly, the Holy Spirit wants to imbue in you a power that you've never experienced. There's a grace of authority that God gives to you. Not because of who you are. It has nothing to do with certificates. It has nothing to do with status. It has nothing to do with money. It only needs to do with the grace of the Spirit of God that comes upon me, whom I open myself to. You open yourself to him, there will be an endowment of power. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. It is the truth. And that's what he wants to do. God wants you and I to walk every day of our life in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's his desire. That's his will. Lastly, he wants to help you to pray. Romans chapter 8. That will be our last scripture. Romans chapter 8. You know it, but turn to it, please. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth my infirmity, your infirmities. The word infirmity used here is weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with words which cannot be uttered. We do not know what to pray for the way we ought to pray for it. You don't know it. You don't know what to pray for the way you ought to pray for it. Or you do not know that God is going to wake you up. and say to you, pray for this person. You say, what am I going to pray? This is 12 midnight. I'm not going to call up anybody. And the Spirit of God says, open your mouth, I will feel it. And you open your mouth, and the Holy Spirit begins to make intercession. That is why we pray in spiritual tongues. We make intercessions because with our carnal mind, we are not able to know what I'm supposed to pray for this brother, what I'm supposed to pray for this sister. But you begin to pray in the Spirit, and you pray in the Spirit, and you pray in the Spirit, and you pray in the Spirit. And look, brothers and sisters, many brothers and sisters in Christ don't have the strength to sustain prayer. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is not in the prayer. So if you want the Holy Spirit to be in the prayer, you must give Him yourself. He takes your tongue. Why? The scripture tells us in verse 27, for He knoweth the mind of God, and He maketh intercession according to that knowledge. It's true. According to that knowledge. He makes intercession according to that knowledge. He helps you. He grants you grace. And you make intercession according to the knowledge He knows. He is the one who knows it. And because He knows it, He causes you to make that intercession in a very powerful way. And you're wondering, why have I prayed with such intensity? You only have that intensity for prayers because the Holy Spirit has taken over. And I'm praying to God for you, that God will enable you. You will become for Him all that He wants you to become for Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Pray to Him. Oh, share my content here. Thank you, my fortune. Lay grandma putting a so shit under here. Oh, yeah, grandma putting an English school so shit here. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, reviving Spirit, Holy Ghost, come, come, Holy Spirit, come, hallelujah.
Oh!
you open your mouth and pray for yourself? Plead with God for yourself. For yourself. Pray for yourself. Ask God. Ask God. It is for yourself, brother. Brother, it's for yourself, by yourself. Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit, please come. Ah, sweet Holy, please, 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 please. Please, of my own self, I can do nothing. Oh, the Baba Rikon Sveteria. Oh, man, Baba Puruka, the Inga Sosheteria. My young Baba Puruka, the Inga Sataneria. Is strengthened by you, O God, and enabling by you, O God. La young Baba Puruka, the Inga Sosheteria. Ah, the Baba Rikon Sveteria. Man, Baba Puruka, the Inga Sosheteria. Oh, the strength of the Spirit of the Living God upon my life, Lord. Able God, compassionate Jehovah. Able God, Lion drama put it in English so shut it. Your drama put it in English to say. Zandrona in a cup of Puruka in English to say. Zandrona in the Maricos to shut it. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Father, please, please, Lord. Come upon my life. Come upon my brethren's life. We need you desperately. We need you. We need you, O Holy Spirit. Thou revealer of truth. God, now open the eyes to the word of God. Oh, la cabaria. Oh, ye gaba parico satelia. Oh, shit. Ah, brother, pray. It's for your life. Pray, pray. It's for your life. It's for your life. Pray. It's for your life. Not another person's life. It's for your life. Pray. Pray, brethren. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your sake. Pray for yourself. Pray for your sake. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself.
Paskiti marande buso prakataya masitele. Ne prokote paskiti musuntole. Ye prokote paskiti musuntole. Let's ask. Let's ask. Let's ask for fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the source of strength beyond the natural. He is the wisdom of God that gives us guidance. He is the one who enables us to live above the ungodliness of our world. He is the help that the Lord God had promised. Let's ask. In the name of Jesus, that the Lord will fill us, fill you, fill me, fill us with his Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, that we are able to run errand for him. In the name of Jesus Christ, to work out the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to work out the fruit of the Spirit through us. Let us pray the fruit of long suffering and of love and of patience. And of kindness, and of goodness, those characters that cannot be found outside there, that the whole world is waiting for the manifesting of the sons of God, of the children of God. You are myself showing the character of God, showing the beauty of God. Let the beauty of God be seen in us. Let's pray that the Spirit of God will work out all these through us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of God, the gift of God through our lives. Let's pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We have been taught of the benefits, numerous benefits that exist in having a life that is driven, a life that is led, a life that is
that is moved by the Spirit of God. Let us pray in the name of Jesus Christ. A life by the Spirit of God moves us and helps us to live above struggles, struggle with sin, struggle with inconsistencies, ups and downs, inability to pray, inability to resist the devil, inability to exercise faith. All of them are evidences that the Spirit of God needs to touch us again. Let's pray for that touch in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, the Holy Spirit wants to help us to pray. He wants to help us to have faith. That's what we have been told this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to strengthen us, wants to lead us, wants to direct us, wants to guide us, wants to grant us wisdom. Let us pray, Holy Spirit, fill me, fill my household, take over in the name of Jesus Christ. Take away every struggle, take away every weakness, every infirmity, not necessarily of sickness, but infirmity that relate to weaknesses. Weaknesses in the area of sin, weaknesses in the area of inability to stand for God, courage, confidence, boldness that comes by the Spirit of God. Let's pray that the Spirit of God will come upon us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that if we that are human, we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father, how much more our Heavenly Father, we give His Spirit. We give the Holy Spirit to them who we ask of Him. So is the evidence, is the blessings of the Father. Can we ask this money? Can we lift up our hands and say, Holy Spirit, much more than ever before. Oh, take away every weakness from me. In the name of Jesus, I am asking for an endowment of power. We were told about power this morning. Lord, send forth your power upon me. Send forth your power upon me. In the name of Jesus. Power to be your witness. Power to stand for you, to proclaim your message, to proclaim the gospel, to be an evidence for men to see, a witness for men to see that indeed Christ is real. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can we all pray in the Spirit? I perceive the Spirit of God is here, is here to heal, is here to do incredible things. If you are not baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues, receive that grace this morning. Receive that evidence this morning. Can we open our mouth and just Spirit and speak in by the help of the Holy Spirit? Can we pray this morning? Open your mouth. Let there be a flow of God's Spirit. Let there be a flow freely. For those of us who are baptized, maybe you have even gone down. You have become weak. Receive that fresh baptism this morning. Receive that fresh baptism. Receive fresh baptism. In the name of Jesus. Say, Talale. Ekremo pakandemo sendelea. Inki pokala. Iproketemo zendegede. Makapus kendelea yaba. Yentimosi prokotelia yambo setegede makepo lingramazanda ya isopra katove zendegede iremoso. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. In the name of Jesus Christ, masotopa lingramozondolia. If you are not baptized, receive that baptism. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. The hand of God is coming upon us this morning. The presence of God is here to do incredible things, to revitalize our spirit, to revitalize us from within. In the name of Jesus, say tromos linkremos kendelia, impakata yaba yemo zondolia. In the name of Jesus, he's distributing his gift all over again. He's distributing his gift. Those gifts that have become idle, that have become weak, that have become forsaken, he's activating them again this morning. He's activating gifts. He's activating grace. He's activating help. Jesus, sample linkabala, esoprokotemo zendelia. In the name of Jesus, strength is being given to us this morning. Strength to stand. Strength to resist the devil. Strength to put the enemy where it belongs. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorious God, we thank you. We appreciate you, O Lord, for this day. Thank you for your mighty visitation upon us all afresh. All I need once again. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us that you never thought that we walk this path alone. You never planned that we walk this life. You never planned that we will be in this world as your children. You never thought that we walk this walk alone. You said we will not be like orphans. You said you will be with us. You promised that you will be with us even to the end of the age. You said we shall receive power after that the Spirit shall come upon us. And we will stand to be your witnesses. We will stand to demonstrate your glory, your wisdom unto the principalities and power, all by the Spirit of grace. Thank you for reminding us again this morning that there's help that has been designed, planned for us from the foundation of the earth. And thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for touching us anew this morning. Thank you. Thank you for giving us your gift all over. Thank you for enabling us to walk the life of your Spirit, the fruit of your Spirit. Thank you for bringing it upon our lives all over again this morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking away all weaknesses. Thank you for taking away all infirmities. Thank you, God, for revitalizing your Spirit in us that we may be able to stand and glorify your name. We appreciate you, Father. Thank you for our mommy. Thank you for your daughter that you have used for us. And thank you, O God, for the great words. Thank you for the encouragement of your Holy Spirit. We return all the praises to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We trust you, Father, that which you have begun in our lives individually, even as a congregation this morning, Lord, it will continue to multiply and continue to increase until you have accomplished all that you have in mind in our individual lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Until the weakest of us begin to chase tens of thousands in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Until our deaths have become fruitful field in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Until our lives, O God, begin to shine with the glory of the Father. Men shall see and call us blessed of the Lord indeed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the mighty healings that you have wrought as your word was going forth. Thank you for fresh grace that you have given that we may be able to stand for you. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We worship you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.